Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Welcome, everybody, back to the GeoMob Podcast. I'm going to try and do something a little bit different this time. I want to tell you about a conference that I went to at the beginning of October. It was a conference in the UK, and, well, I and other people thought that it went really, really well. So I just want to give you a little review of what I thought of the entire conference. So what am I talking about? That's the main thing that you'll be querying. The Phosphagy UK 2025 conference, in-person conference, was held at the Horizon Leeds building, which is, I think, owned by the NHS or managed by the NHS. And that was obviously in Leeds on the 1st and 2nd of October. So just to give a bit of context, there have been a number of Phosphagy UK events in the past. So I remember, I think the first one I went to was 2016, which from memory was in Southampton, then 2018, I think, was in London. 2019 was a biggie. That was up in Edinburgh, and that was a really good conference. And then COVID hit, and we sort of went online for most of the things after that. So I was involved with Stephen from the podcast and a few others in terms of putting on Phosphagy UK 2020, which was all online, and it went pretty well. And then I don't think there was anything in 21, 22, and 23 were sort of hybrid or local. So there was a number of different local events all on the same day, and we tried to link them up with using video streaming again. Sort of variable success. I mean, the days themselves were really successful, but some success in terms of the streaming. And then last year, from memory, was again a local event that we did in Bristol. I was involved in putting that on. And yeah, it all went swimmingly. But we, like I say, we haven't had a national in-person event since 2019. So it was brilliant to go back and be in person talking about open source software, open data, open analytical methods, communities, you name it, all the stuff that Phosphagy is about. So just a few things to mention first. So the conference itself wouldn't actually happen without a local organizing committee. So I have to say a big thank you to Dennis, Jason, Matt, Nick, Ant, Claire, Johnny, and Waiming, all of whom were involved in finding the venue, getting the sponsors, putting together the program, and then making sure the thing ran smoothly during the event itself. So, yeah, massive thank you to them for putting it on. And then also, I guess, the sponsors should also get a shout out, because the sponsors, without the sponsors, it definitely wouldn't happen. So we had Geolytics, Address Cloud, iDocs, CGI, Esri UK, Geosphere, Aston Technology, Overture Maps, Spark Geo, Merging Maps, Mapbox, MapTiler, NautoGuide, Vercel, Qfield Cloud, and then community sponsors, Women in Geospatial, the AGI, and MapAction. So you can see, just from that list, just the sheer number of organizations that need to come together to make this sort of thing happen. So, yeah, it's both an amazing feat for the local organizing committee to pull that off, and it's also brilliant that there are so many organizations in the UK willing to support financially and by turning up and coming to the conference as well. Such a conference. So I have talked about where it was. I've talked about when it was. I've talked about the fact that it's special because it was in person again. I've talked about who was organizing it, but I should also mention who came, because that's a really key part to the success of any conference, and this one in particular. So one of the things that was really, really heartening was finding out the number of people who had turned up, and it was their first ever Phosphagy UK event. In fact, for many, it was their first ever Phosphagy event. So that was brilliant, just to find sort of new people discovering our community, wanting to get involved, and as far as I'm aware, enjoying it as well. So I've seen some of the feedback, and the feedback is really positive for the event overall. I think over 80%, or easily over 80%, said that the event met their expectations. So that's absolutely brilliant, and hopefully that'll lead on to more events like this. The talks were also well received, and I'll come back to the talks a little bit later on. So in terms of the people who were turning up, the majority, so roughly just shy of 70%, were GIS professionals. So this is a self-designation of what they were. There's a chunk of people as well who were students and academics. So looking at roughly just shy of 8% of people saying that they were that. Another 8 or 9% saying they were data scientists. And then a whole series of people describing themselves as software developers or volunteers with GIS knowledge and needing to know how to use GIS practically and that sort of thing. So, yeah, pretty much mainly professional. Then in terms of those professionals, just looking at the sector, there was probably about 20% were from large businesses, and then 35% from sort of SME, smaller businesses, which was interesting. So I guess that would include freelancers and sort of individual consultants as well. And then what was quite nice to see was there were about 13% from central government and another chunk added onto that from local government. So overall, sort of government was pretty well represented, as was the sort of non-profit at 15% and sort of educational / academic sector people also coming in somewhere between 10 and 15%. So although mainly the audience came from business background, I would say that there was, you know, a good chunk of people as well coming from central government and from the not-for-profit and education. And that is one of the strong points about Phosphagy events and Phosphagy UK events, which is what I've had experience of, is that it does attract a nice variety of people coming in. And there's obviously more work to do to get more people finding out about the Phosphagy UK events and coming along. But I think, you know, it's going in the right direction. So that's very cool. And then in terms of what people commented about the event, some of the comments that I've seen saying that it was a fantastic event, beyond their expectations and very enjoyable. They were also really impressed with the fact that the session chairs kept all the sessions to time really, really well. And I must admit, yeah, that is something that I noticed as well. And what that means, I mean, it might seem like a slightly strange comment, but what that means is that actually you can see that you want to go from room A to room B. And if you know that the session chairs are keeping everything to the same times that are in the program itself, it means you can jump in and know that you're going to hit the beginning of the next presentation that you want to see, or hit the workshop that you want to go to or whatever, and not sort of come in partway through. So, I think the overall message in terms of the feedback was incredibly well organized, incredibly well run, very enjoyable, and very exciting as well. And I think, hopefully what you'll get from me as I talk about what I was doing whilst I was there and who I was talking to is that this notion that the event itself was really, really engaging. It sounds a bit weird to say, but it was very exciting to be there and to be talking to people and finding out about what people are doing. And so just a little bit about the venue, I guess, as well. So it was Leeds Horizon, as I've mentioned, which is in the middle, the center of Leeds, not too far from the railway station. So it was a great accessible location in that respect. And the other thing that was nice was effectively the conference had a single floor. And what that meant was that you could rock up, and then there was a large room that was large enough for everybody, for all of the delegates to go into in order to have like a keynote, something like that. And there were somewhere in the region of 180 delegates. And then that room could be split into two to allow two different sessions running in terms of presentations. And then there were two associated smaller rooms where we were able to go and do workshops if that was something that we were interested in. Then there was a sort of networking area, like an atrium area as well, between those rooms, which meant that you could, if you needed some downtime or you wanted to go and chat with someone or just do some sort of general networking, you could jump out there. And coffee and food was available in that area as well. And that's another thing, actually. So some of the feedback was saying how good the food was, and also how good the coffee was. And I think, you know, that also helps make a really good conference. If you've got the food and the coffee nailed, then as long as the talks are interesting, I think people are going to be fairly happy. So, I guess I can talk about some of the talks. I obviously didn't manage to go to all of the talks because there was so much on. I think I saw something in the region of 50 plus different sessions, including the workshops. So over 2 days, that's a lot of stuff happening. But we had three keynotes. So our first was from Catherine Berger, who's the lead data scientist at DSIT, which is the Department for Science, Innovation and Technology, which is a central government thing. She sort of kicked off the whole event and was talking about Earth observation and some of the work she's been doing. And then at the end of day one, we had Mariam Crichton, who's the Inspire lead for women in Geospatial Plus and also CEO of a company called Seven Satya, come and talk to us about open data and sort of put out a call that even if we're working locally, try and think about how the data could be used at a global scale and make the data sort of discoverable and usable. And then at the beginning of day two, we had a keynote from Alistair Ray, who's head of data and spatial analysis at a company called LandPro. You may be aware of Alistair through social media. He does a lot of data visualization stuff, and he basically took us through a sort of tale of work that he's been doing and some of the visualizations and things like that. So there was three really great keynotes that really acted as anchors throughout the program itself. Linked to that, there was also the OSGEO UK AGM, and I'll come back to that later on a little bit. Another session as well that wasn't necessarily a sort of a presentation session, but it was asking for people's feedback and opinions about possibility of putting on a larger Phosphagy event in the UK. So that was also very interesting to go and see who was interested and what sort of events they were thinking of. Okay, so let me see if I can remember some of the sort of talks I went to see. So on day one, we obviously had the welcome right at the beginning, and then the keynote that I've mentioned from Catherine. There was just to give you a sort of flavor of the types of variety in terms of talks that we had. So just in the very first session before lunch on day one, we had talks around routing in JavaScript, which was introducing TerraRoot. Something about addressing range and charge anxiety for EV drivers with Mapbox. Also looking at assessing business interruption from flooding with open source analytics. And also something that I will come and discuss in a minute about all data sets are meshes, looking at a new ontology for 3D GIS. And then alongside those sessions, as well as other talks that were happening there, we had two workshops. So there was one that was looking at automating workflows using QGIS Model Designer, and another one looking at a project called Earthcode, and it was just going through how that might work. So hopefully that gives a flavor of the types of things. And that was sort of carried over into the sessions post-lunch, where you had more workshops, you had more discussions and chats. We also were lucky enough to be shown, I think it was the first time it's been shown in the UK, possibly the first time it's been shown, a film called She Measures the Earth, which was a short film about a bunch of women who are involved in geosciences. And that was really interesting. And then there was a chat and panel session afterwards. Then at the end of the first day, there was then a sort of a social event where people could go and relax a bit more and just carry on chatting and find out a bit more about people and what have you. And then on day two, it was sort of more of the same almost, but we were, so again, to give you a flavor of some of the talks in the first session of day two, there was something called Fork in the Road, Developing a Free Gluten-Free Map App. Also, a field guide to building serverless geospatial apps on AWS. What is the hype around hyperspectral? Integrating Esri's location services with Leaflet and Cesium. So, you know, four very different topics there. And also two workshops at the same time. So mapping workspaces with code spaces, and also live vector tiles from PostGIS. So a lot of the talks are online at the Phosphagy UK YouTube channel. And so you can go and find out quite a lot about what was happening in terms of what the presentations were like. So not everything is there. The workshops weren't recorded, and one or two of the presentations as well. So by the end of the second day, we split off into different sessions again. So there was sort of three or four sessions of presentations. So not all of those are recorded either. But the majority are, and they're online, so you can go and check those out. So basically we got to the end of day two, and then there was a wrap up, and everybody disappeared back to wherever they were from. So I guess, as I'm talking about this, I can just quickly give you an overview of a couple of the talks that really stood out for me. So one was the talk, All Data Sets Are Meshes, towards a new ontology for 3D GIS. Now, it could be that, you know, I'm a bear of very little brain and didn't quite get all of the maths, because I'm a geographer and I like to look at rocks and plants rather than equations necessarily. But yeah, it was very cool. So I think I'm being correct in saying that the premise of this was that there is a more efficient mathematical way of representing 3D objects within GIS compared to what is currently done. I would recommend, if you're interested in this, that you go and watch the video and find out for yourself the specifics of what it was about. But it was one of those things where it wasn't a topic I ever thought I would be thinking about, but it was one of the most engaging half hours of the entire 2 days, because my brain was totally locked on trying to understand what it was about, why it was important, and sort of, you know, what the impact would be of making any of those changes. So that was a very cool one. Another one that lots of people liked. So again, in the feedback, it was one of the talks that was got really good feedback. Was Danger UXB, British World War II Coordinates in JavaScript, Python, and QGIS. And this, again, this is one of those absolutely perfect Phosphor GUK sort of talks. It was about how the speaker had answered a query on an online forum that no one else had answered. He'd then gone away and started researching a bit more about it and ended up becoming sort of the UK expert on British World War II coordinate systems and how you can manipulate them and get them into modern day GIS. And it was interesting because not only was there a personal component in terms of the example that was being given, but it was just one of those things that shows how if you have the mindset where you want to learn more, you can really get lost in something. And then an entire community sort of grows up around you wanting to know more about it. And suddenly there's a whole raft of people who are interested in the types of work you've been doing. What else did I... Oh, yeah. So also there was a talk about the what is the hype around hyperspectral. That was a really interesting talk about some of the upcoming Earth observation missions. And it was nice, again, to be able to get sort of Earth observation talks coming in alongside database talks, alongside how to work out some really fine detailed SQL in a database, alongside vector processing, alongside data visualization. And that's one of the things that is so good about the sort of OSGO/PhosphorG community, is that there's such a variety of things that people are interested in, and almost to a person, everybody is interested in what everyone else is into. Even if they're not working on it, it's just it's a brilliant event to go and just have an inquisitive mind and talk to people. And I'd really forgotten how good it was to do that, where you're pulling together people from across the entire country. And so I'm really glad I got to go there. Let me see, what else was there? There was Beautiful Hill Shades in QGIS, Return of the Blend Mode. So for those of you who have a history with PhosphorG UK, you'll know that Tom Armitage has been doing a series of talks around how you can visualize data within QGIS using various different blend modes. And I think the joke was that this was the end of the trilogy. But anyway, yeah, that's another one worth checking out online if you see it. So I gave a couple of talks myself as well. One is online. So it was about Pixie, which is a Python package manager. Seems really interesting and really, well, I'm finding it very useful in that it allows you to link in directly with Conda Forge. And so if you're a data scientist, it's very useful at being able to pull in things like GDAL and what have you, and everything just works seamlessly and nicely. So that was really good in terms of giving it, and it was nice to see that people were interested in finding out a bit more. So I'm not a developer, but I do enough Python coding that around sort of data science around Earth observation that this has really helped me. It's just made the whole thing around getting CondaForge packages to work together quickly really, really easy for me. So check that one out. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, my second talk, Remote Sensing Sucks, isn't online. So you'll just have to take my word for it. That went down pretty well, I think. I suddenly had a wobble the evening beforehand, thinking, what have I done? Maybe this wasn't the best idea. But actually, the premise of the talk was to say how there's so much hype in remote sensing around certain things, but also that a lot of the things that are talked about and used haven't changed for a long time, and just trying to give a sort of state of the nation idea. I mean, maybe that's a bit too grand, probably wasn't the state of the nation, but it was give my thoughts on some of the topics around remote sensing. And I also am very grateful to the people that I interacted with on Mastodon and LinkedIn, who were able to also give ideas about what they wanted me to talk about, and so I merged those in as well. So that was cool. And then, so that was really everything that I think I want to talk about in terms of the talks. The only thing left to talk about is the AGM. So the OSGEO UK is the body that sort of funds the PhosphorGEO UK event, obviously alongside all of the sponsors. But it held its AGM at the end of day one, and it was very interesting to be in person for an AGM. So the AGMs for the last 4 years at least have all been online. This time we were able to get the majority of the attendees, I think, at the conference coming into the AGM, and that was good. And it was an important AGM for the organization as well, in that there were a number of changes that were being made to the officers and on the committee. So the first thing to note really was that Matt Travis, who's been treasurer for a number of years now, was resigning and stepping down. And so a new treasurer needed to be found. But also, due to some changes in the constitution and the way that we want the organization to run, there was a change in the terms of each of the different committee members. So there's now a 3-year term that is going to be sort of potentially renewed, but it gives a finite term for each of the people who are voted on. And we needed two new members to set out the 3-year terms, so that everybody had a nice rolling role on the committee. So we were lucky enough that Jason, Dennis and James all put their names forward and stepped up and are now on the committee. So that's brilliant as well. And then throughout the AGM, we talked about a few other things around membership, around communications and the newsletter that goes out. There's also a mailing list, and obviously there's things on social media as well. There was a bit of a discussion around a potential PhosphorGEO UK 2026. So if you want there to be a PhosphorGEO UK 2026, and it was brilliant at 2025, and you want to volunteer, then definitely approach either one of the organizers from the 2025 event or the committee for OSGEO UK, and we'll see what can be done. Basically, at this stage, what we'd need is a city, a venue within the city, and a couple of folks who are interested in helping volunteer. And then, you know, the committee would help you after that. But as an attendee, I love Phosphor GUK events. They are really, really good. As an organizer, I've organized a couple of sort of local ones, and I also love that as well. So I would say, if you've been to Phosphor GUK 2025 and you have the same level of excitement as I do about it, then definitely think about putting on a 2026 event. That would be brilliant. Okay, I think I've rattled on for long enough now. So I will stop there and see you in whatever the next episode is. Cheers.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.